This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, in today's class we will study the name of Allah, Al-Rafiq. Al-Rafiq is a very beautiful and a very excellent name of Allah, as are all the names of Allah. فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To him belong the most beautiful, the most excellent names. And the name Al-Rafiq basically means the kind friend, or the one who is very, very gentle. And in hadith, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ, he described Allah the Exalted as Rafiq. And we see that this name is not mentioned in the Quran, but it is mentioned in the Sunnah. And we see that the name Rafiq actually is mentioned in many ahadith. So for example, in one hadith, we learn about how a group of Jews came to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when they came in, instead of saying assalamu alaykum, they said assalamu alayk. So they kind of played with the words. Assalamu alaykum means may peace be upon you. Assalamu alaykum with the lam. Salam. But when you remove the lam and you say assalamu alaikum, right, it sounds like assalamu alaikum, but it's not actually assalamu alaikum. And assalamu alaikum means may death be on you, meaning may you die. So it's the exact opposite, right? Salam meaning may peace be on you, and assam meaning may death be on you, may you suffer and may you die, etc. So Aisha radiallahu anha was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that moment, and she heard it and she understood what, you know, those people had said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she got extremely angry and she said that bal alaykum as-samu wal la'na. Rather, may you have sam and may you have the curse of Allah as well. Meaning she got really upset and she was very she showed her anger, right, through her words. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he heard her talking like that, he said, Ya Aisha, inna allaha rafiqun yuhibbu rifqa fil amri kulli. O Aisha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rafiq, he is kind, he is gentle, and he loves gentleness, rifq, in everything, in all affairs, in all matters. So in this hadith, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Rafiq. So Rafiq is not only a name of Allah, but it is also an attribute of Allah. And we see in this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see this attribute in his slaves as well. And this shows us how important the quality of rifq, the quality of gentleness is. We see in the other hadith that the last words that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said before he left this world, he made the dua, Allahumma ighfirli warhamni wa alhiqni birrafiqil a'la. That, O Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me and bring me to the highest companion. And there is different understandings of what al-rafiqul a'la is, and one understanding is that it is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is this quality of rifq? And what exactly does it mean, and how can we incorporate it in our lives? Let's look at that. So first of all, let's look at the meaning of the name Rafiq. So remember that Rafiq, the name Rafiq, means someone who is كثير الرفق, meaning someone who shows a lot of رفق. And what exactly is رفق? رفق is to be gentle and easy. So it is the opposite of harshness. And it also means to be deliberate, gradual, slow, and civil. And it is the opposite of hastiness and aggression. So think about it. First of all, رفق is اللين والتسهيل, meaning to be gentle, to be easygoing, to deal with people in a very gentle and easy way. Not that, a person is being difficult with people and harsh with them and very, rude and mean. No, it's to be easy and gentle, all right? And the second aspect of رفق is to be deliberate. You need to do things slowly, gradually. And when you do things slowly and gradually, you are being civil, basically. You are not showing aggression. Because when a person is, being rough and, being hasty, then what happens is that they're grabbing things and seizing things quickly and roughly, and it looks very uncivil, right? So رفق, the other aspect of رفق is to be deliberate, gradual, and civil. And رفق is also to benefit or assist someone. All right, to benefit or assist someone. To bring nafar, to bring khair to another. And this is why we see that the word mirfaq, right? Mirfaq is used for the elbow, because you use your elbow a lot when you're resting, when you are, even working. So mirfaq is the elbow. All right. So these are three implications of the word rifq: to be gentle, to be deliberate and slow, and to bring benefit and to assist someone. And rifq is the opposite, rifq is to be gentle then in one's manner and dealings. So it is linul janib, all right? Meaning in the way that you are interacting with people, your disposition, your mannerism, right? That is very gentle. So the way that you look at people, the way that you talk to them, the way that you address them, the way that you correct them, etc., all of that is gentle. And the other aspect of رفق is to be gentle in one's actions, all right? Meaning that a person is neat, that a person is tidy, not noisy and rough and, almost coming across as aggressive. رفق is both in it's intangible and it's also tangible, right? It reflects in your tone and it also reflects in your body language, right? It reflects in the way that you walk, in the way that you drive, and also in the way that you move around in your house, right? In things that may be perceptible by the eye, but they are felt, right? They're experienced by people. So rifq is gentleness. It's a very a holistic concept of gentleness. And we see that the word rafiq is also used for a companion, meaning someone who is with you while you're traveling, and also someone who is with you after you end your journey. And you will notice that, some people, especially when you're traveling with them, they're extremely courteous, right? Very caring, very gentle. And you will see this even on the road, that when you're driving, some people in the way that they're driving, they give you way. They listen. They acknowledge the fact that you gave the indicator you want to, change your lane. So they will slow down or they will speed up in order to give you space. And other people, they will not give you space. In fact, God forbid if you slow down a little bit, or if you are trying to, change your lane, they will show aggression, right? So Rafiq is someone who is your companion in your journey. But then when you become friends with someone in your journey, because of their kindness, their gentleness, their courtesy, what happens is that even after afterwards, after your journey is complete, you keep in touch, right? So in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 69, we learn that وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. That whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then such people will be with those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His favor upon. And who are they? They are the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And what excellent companions they are. Meaning what an excellent companionship this is of these people. Because a person who obeys Allah and the Messenger, then he is with such people in the world, and if not physically, at least in their belief and in their behavior, in their lifestyle. So in the hereafter also, after the end of the journey, right, through this life, in paradise, in the final destination, they will be rafiq. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ. So you understand the concept of rifq now, right? That it is the opposite of roughness. It's the opposite of rudeness. It's the opposite of harshness, opposite of hastiness, right? Of aggressiveness. And this is why it is such a beautiful quality, right? You will see, for example, that some people, in the way that they handle even children, they can be very rough. And other people, in the way that they're handling, even the most heavy objects, they have a tendency to be gentle, right? To give regard to the fact that, yes, this object may be, lifeless. And yes, I'm not attached to the things of the world. And I'm not going to, worry over losing the things of the world. I'm not so overly attached, but I will still handle with care and handle with respect, because Allah is Rafiq and He loves Rifq. Allah is kind and He loves kindness and gentleness. So gentleness towards everything. So gentleness is not about whether the other person deserves it or not. Gentleness is about, rifq is about what you choose to do, how you choose to behave. In a hadith, we learn about how this man came and said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I am a tabib, right? I am a doctor. I can cure you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu tabib. Allah is the one who cures. Bal anta rajulun rafiq. You are just a person who is rafiq, who is very kind and gentle. Right, who is very helpful, who wants to, bring benefit. And this is how we see that good, doctors are, for example, they don't heal you. They don't have the power to heal you, but they have the ability to bring you, some kind of benefit. How? In the way that they listen to you, your health concerns, in the way that they assure you, in the way that they give you options, in the way that they are very supportive. They're not judgmental. They're not rushing, because they want to be done with you so that they can move to the next patient and the next patient. رَجُلٌ رَفِيق, right? You are a helpful, kind, gentle, friendly person, right? So this is the concept of rifq. Now, when we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is al-Rafiq, then what does that mean? This means that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind and gentle and friendly towards His slaves, meaning He is al-Latif. And He does not have to be kind and gentle and friendly towards His slaves, because He does not benefit by being kind towards us. And if you think about it, we don't necessarily deserve that kindness. I mean, the way that we behave, the way that we commit sin, the way that we do things that are, in complete opposition to the command of Allah, right? And we make these mistakes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly. Sometimes it's an accident. Sometimes it's out of habit. Sometimes it's out of haste. But we know how you know, how many times we do things to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can never say that, you know, we deserve Allah's kindness and gentleness. Yet He is kind and gentle towards His slaves. How that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives His slaves when they seek His forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their repentance when they repent to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His worshipers, meaning people who worship Allah, who worship only Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. Right, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people who believe and who do good things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps His slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind, right? So kind and gentle that the world that He has put us in is such a secure and peaceful place for us, right? In the sense that we feel secure in this world, that we're not always concerned that, oh my God, there will be an earthquake any second. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us the times when we do experience such things, that when there is a sudden earthquake, right? When there is a storm, when there is lightning, when there's thunder, when there is really fierce wind and things like that, they make us realize how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a safe place to exist, to live in. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness towards us, right? And if you think about it in the Quran, when the wind is mentioned, it's mentioned about how the wind brings the mercy of Allah. The wind brings good news. And wind, breeze, it reminds us of the gentleness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is out of His gentleness that He sends a breeze, right? That the wind is not always harsh. Because if it was always harsh, imagine how difficult our lives would be. If the sun was blazing hot, then our existence would be impossible. If it was extremely cold at all times, then again, our existence would be impossible. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness towards His slaves, all of His slaves, that He has given us a place to live, which is where life is possible. Yes, there are tests every now and then, and there are challenges every now and then, but they also remind us of what a beautiful place this world is. And when we suffer some difficulty, then it gives us a chance to reflect on ourselves that perhaps this is the outcome of our own deeds, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change a blessing which He has given to His slaves until they change what is within themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses His slaves, right? And when that blessing changes, that's because we did something. We did something to have that blessing removed from us, right? And we see that part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness and gentleness is that He comforts His slaves. And he doesn't have to, but He comforts His slaves. We see, for example, the story of the mother of Musa, right? Ummi Musa, that when she put her child, her baby in the box, right? In the tabut, and she put that box in the river, you can imagine how afraid and how worried she was for her child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over there, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. And do not fear and do not be sad. Why? إِنَّا رَدُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We are going to bring him back to you, and we are going to make him one of the prophets, one of the messengers. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts this woman, right, who is worrying about her child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind towards His slaves. He cares about our feelings. He is compassionate towards us. He is gentle towards us. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rafiq, secondly, this also means that he is deliberate and forbearing, right? Meaning towards his slaves, meaning that he is not hasty with his slaves. He is not hasty in dealing with his slaves. Who is hasty? Who is quick and to respond and impulsive, right? Who is impulsive? Someone who is responding from a place of fear, from a place of scarcity mindset, right? And we are impulsive. We are quick to respond because we are afraid, right? We are afraid of loss. We are afraid of losing control. We are afraid of missing out on an opportunity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from such weaknesses. You know, for example, when we instantly, the child, poor child makes a mistake, is not even done making a mistake, right? And we start yelling and shouting from the other side of the house. And we start, taunting and criticizing and crushing their confidence, their morale. Why? Because we want to make sure that our children remember, I'm the boss, right? That they need to listen to me. We are so afraid of losing control that we don't even think before we speak to our family members. We don't even, question our opinion, our judgment, right? When we are dealing with our family members. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of such weakness. He is al-hayy. He is the ever-living. He is al-qadir, right? The ever-able. So he does not have to be hasty, right? He is not hasty. So he is deliberate and he is forbearing towards his slaves. And we see this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even creates things in stages. He brings things into existence, how? In stages. And he causes things to change gradually as well. If you think about it, the sudden, on and off of the light switch, that imagine you are in a room, it's bright, and all of a sudden somebody turns the light off and it's pitch dark. How disturbing and upsetting that is. And when you are getting comfortable with the darkness, all of a sudden someone comes and turns the light on. Again, how upsetting that is, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put us in sudden darkness, and he does not put us in light suddenly. We see that the transition, right, of the night into the day and the day into the night, it is so gradual, so gentle. We see the transition into, different seasons, from summer to winter. That also is gradual, that after summer, you get a few cold days, you experience autumn, fall, right? And then there is winter, because your bodies need to adjust. Your mind needs to adjust. If all of a sudden, from 40 degrees, it is minus 40 degrees, life would be extremely difficult. Our bodies and our minds would be in a state of shock. When a person, when people leave this world, we see that sudden death, it causes shock to the family members. But when death is gradual, in the sense that, a person is unwell, they're sick, and their sickness, is not going away, you kind of get used to, or you kind of accept the fact that someone is going to leave, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brings about change gradually. And this is part of his kindness and gentleness towards us. Because when someone is brought out of one situation and thrown into another situation, suddenly that sudden shift is extremely difficult to accept, right? It's very difficult to adjust to. And, for example, if there is a child who is, sleeping comfortable, all of a sudden you pick that baby up and put him in the bathtub, it's very hard, right? A child is busy playing in their own world. They've built this, imaginary world. And all of a sudden you pick them up and you say, shoes on and outside. right? Or leave this and start your homework. That sudden shift is very difficult to adjust to. So this is not the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should also be careful, right? Give your children, for example, a warning that you have about 15 minutes and after that, we're going to go. You see the clock, the hand is on three. When it is at six, we're going to leave, right? So give them a warning because sudden changes is difficult to adapt to. And it's contrary to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Qamar, ayah number 49, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar." Indeed, we have created everything according to a certain measure. Meaning, and one of the interpretations is that according to a certain measure, meaning with determination, right? Gradually. And also in a certain measure that it is predictable. And when things are not predictable, that is where people become afraid and they become resistant. We see that when it comes to the creation of the skies and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about how He created the skies and the earth in 6 days. He could have created it in an instant. Kun, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth gradually. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to create things in an instant, to cause things to change in an instant. And He does that. Absolutely, He does that. But not in every matter. Right? Not in every matter. Why? Because if that was in every matter, things would be very difficult for His creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rafiq towards His creation. And then we see that when it comes to even the revelation of his deen, the revelation of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal all of it in one day. We learn in Surah Al-Isra, ayah 106, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ, that Quran, we have divided its revelation, meaning it was not revealed in one instance, rather فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ, in order that you recite it to people over a long period of time, right? So the Quran was revealed over 23 years. Why? Because when commands were being given gradually, it was easy for people to accept, easy for people to adapt to. So Imam Al-Khattabi says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ, indeed Allah is rafiq, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لَيْسَ بِعَجُولٍ, He is not hasty at all. He does not act impulsively. This is not the way of Allah. He is لَيْسَ بِعَجُولٍ. And Imam Al-Khattabi says that someone who fears death is hasty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayy, so He does not have that fear. Imam al-Qurtubi says that yuhibbu rifq, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves rifq. What this means is that Allah loves that people should not be hasty. Yuhibbu tark al-ajala fil a'mal wal-umur, that people should not be hasty in what they're doing, and in all of their affairs. Because when we're hasty, then we create problems for ourselves. And hastiness comes from a scarcity mindset, that there's very limited opportunity. And therefore, I must react now. It's now or never. It's all or nothing. So this is not the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deliberate. He does not punish immediately. So He is al-Halim. He is forbearing. And we see that people are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not inflict His punishment immediately. In Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 58, we learn, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ لَوْ يُؤَخِذُهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا لَعَجَّلَ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ, that your Lord is forgiving, He is merciful, and if He were to seize people, meaning punish them for what they are earning, he would have hastened the punishment for them. He would have given them punishment immediately. But that is not the way of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives time to people to realize their mistake, to stop, to change their habits, to repent, to seek forgiveness. So we learn in Surah Al-Furqan, ayah 70, that certain major sins are mentioned. And then it is said, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. That except for the person who repents and believes and does righteous deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their sins into good deeds. Allahu Akbar. Yani this is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how gentle and easy going He is with His slaves, that He does not inflict punishment immediately. He gives them time so that they can realize their mistake and they can repent. Think about Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. There was a time when he fought against the Muslims, right? There was a time when he fought against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Battle of Badr. And so many companions were martyred in that battle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so sad after that, right? But then there came a point when Khalid ibn Walid became radiallahu anhu. Right, he became a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was given the title of Saifullah, the sword of Allah. So no one was able to kill him in battle. No enemy could kill him in battle. He died in his deathbed. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rafiq. And you see, this is the real meaning of being friendly towards someone. That you're not quick in judging. You give space. You give time. You're not quick in taking revenge. You see, one of the reasons why our friendships get destroyed is because we don't give space to our friends. We don't give them space to heal. We don't give them space to calm down. We don't give them space to grieve. And we immediately jump to conclusions that, he's being rude, she's being, she's ignoring me, she's being like this, she doesn't care about me, etc., etc. And because of that, we respond aggressively and we ruin our own relationships. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Rafiq, so He gives time to His slaves to realize, to turn back, and then He forgives them. Then Rafiq also means that He is a giver of ease, meaning He gives ease to His slaves. Because remember that one of the meanings of rifq is to benefit someone, right? And to give something that is a means of ease for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates things for us. He does not make things hard for us. You see, there are some people who really want you to struggle. And they won't be easy with you at all, right? It's almost like they want to see you suffer, right? So for example, some professors, they're so difficult. They will give, lengthy assignments, test after test. And what's the worth of the marks? 3% of the total, 5% of the total, right? 2% of the total. You're working so hard. Right, but then they make the entire process so difficult for you. So it's almost as if they want to see you struggling. And what you get at the end is not equal to the effort that you've put in. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He creates ease for His slaves. And you know, a person might wonder, well, there's also a lot of difficulty in life, right? And we see that some people, their difficulties are at an extreme level. They're tested very severely. But you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still Rafiq. So He rewards people in proportion to their effort, to their patience. So the greater the difficulty, the greater the effort, the greater the patience. And that means the greater the reward. right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur. He's also very appreciative. So al-rafiq means that he gives ease to his slaves. And part of that is, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Quran easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Qamar, verse number 17, that وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ, that certainly we have made the Quran easy for remembrance, meaning to learn a lesson from, to remember its teachings, to memorize it, to understand its meaning, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Quran easy. And we don't understand the ease of the Quran until we see how difficult it is, for example, to even read through the Bible. Meaning you have to have a whole lot of patience and a whole lot of determination in order to even read through one chapter, one book. It's not only boring, but also incredibly difficult to understand. And very inconsistent. It's difficult. It's complicated. The Quran is not difficult. It is not complicated. Every person, no matter what your level of knowledge is, even no matter what level of maturity you have, you can still benefit from the Quran. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Quran easy for dhikr. Then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-rafiq. He gives ease. How? That the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is easy. We learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 28, that يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah intends to lighten the burden from you. Why? Because the human being has been created weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our weakness. He is the one who created us. So He only gives us commands that we are able to follow. He gives us instructions that we are able to observe. These commands are not impossible. And that even then, in Surah At-Taghabun, ayah 16, we learn, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you are able. Because in certain conditions, we see that things are completely beyond our control. We're not able to do anything. So for example, if a person is unwell, right, they're in the hospital, they're in a bed, right, they're recovering from anesthesia, for example, and their family is not around, because especially in these days, right, your family, your friends are not allowed in the hospital with you. And in that state, you have to pray, because it's time to pray. Well, you can barely sit up. How are you supposed to make wudu? So there's the option of tayammum, right? And you can barely sit up. How are you supposed to go up and down in salah? You can pray lying down, right? So this is what? This is the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. In Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 78, we learn, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He has not created any difficulty for you in your religion. And by difficulty, it doesn't mean that following the religion is very simple. There's no challenges. No, there are going to be challenges. And each person is going to have their own journey, right? What may be easy for one person may be difficult for another. Because when it comes to ease and difficulty, it's all relative, right? But overall, what is meant is that the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it is practical, it is doable, you are able to live by it, and you're able to do well. You actually have the ability to do well. You know, when it comes to certain careers, certain studies even, there are some people who are very good at, you know, certain subjects. Why? Because their brain works that way. You know, they have a head start. They are personally interested, and they love studying that, and they do really well. And there are other students who really struggle, right? Really struggle, but they have to do it because their parents said, you have to be a doctor, you have to be an optometrist, you have to be an engineer. You don't have another option. They don't want to be in that program, but they're being forced to be in that program. And they're struggling every day because of it, right? So we see that when it comes to studies, you know, some people have a good chance of succeeding and other people don't. It's not just about how much effort you're putting. No, because one person might be putting in a lot of effort, but they're still not getting the results, right? Because they just don't, their mind just doesn't work that way. They're not able to grasp the core concepts and they're not able to do well. But when it comes to deen, when it comes to the religion of Allah, remember, every single person has a chance of doing well. Every single person, even if a person has a disability, right? Even if a person is not able to speak Arabic, even if a person does not have, you know, a great religious background, every person has the potential, the opportunity, the chance to do well. وَمَا جَعْلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ. Indeed, the religion is easy. We also learn in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 185, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah does not want difficulty for you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is الرَّفِيق. And remember, Rafiq is also a friend, right? Someone who's with you in your journey and then also after the journey. Your friend is who? Someone who cares about you. So this is how we should think about Allah. Allah cares about us. Allah does not want to put us in difficulty. The difficulty is not the goal. Ease is the goal. And this is why we see when it comes to fasting in the month of Ramadan, if a person is not able to fast because they're traveling, they're sick, they can make up those fasts later. Why? Because difficulty is not the goal. Putting us in hardship is not the goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Rafiq. He creates ease for us, so He does not burden us with more than what we can handle. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. And even when He puts us in some trial, right? With that trial, He also gives us ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. With difficulty is an ease. And with the difficulty is another ease. Meaning the difficulty is one, but the ease, multiple. There is more ease than difficulty. Because this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also when people are striving to do good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially creates ease for them. So we learn in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah number 16, that when the youths, when they left their people and they went and hid in the cave, they said, وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُم مِّنْ أَمْرِكُم مِّرْفَقًا. Your Lord will prepare for you from your affair facility. Allah will create ease for you. Yes, it's hard, but you know what? We're going to do what is within our ability, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did create ease for them. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Rafiq, the kind, the one who is friendly, the one who is very gentle, then what should we do? We should first and foremost believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is friendly. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives ease. We should not think bad about Allah. We should think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we should also expect ease from Allah. We should have hope in Allah. Because Allah is al-Rafiq. What do you expect from a kind friend? That they're not going to abandon you. Right? You know, you trust them, you believe in them, you love them, and you know that they're not going to disappoint you. We put so much faith in people, and we don't put that faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at the Ashab al-Kahf, right? They said, يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. Right? They said it out loud. They said this to each other. They reminded one another that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease for you. So these are things that we should also say to ourselves, to each other, in order to remind ourselves that Allah's help is there. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Rafiq, then this means that we should also be kind and gentle. In the words that we say, the actions that we do, in dealing with with the people that we are related to, that we are interacting with. And also, we should be deliberate and slow, right? By slow, I don't mean lazy. By slow, I mean don't always be hasty and rushing. Why? Because we learn in hadith that ajala, hastiness, is from shaitan. And part of hastiness is to respond, to answer, to react impulsively, right? That when we feel the urge that, you know what, I have to say this right away. I have to do this right away. I have to teach them a lesson immediately. No, you don't have to. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. You don't have to teach everybody in the world the lesson that they need to learn. You can take a moment, you can think about it, and you can see what the best way of responding to them would be. And, you know, we learn, for example, in the Quran about Ibadur Rahman, that يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. They walk upon the earth gently. So gentleness is an entire lifestyle, right? It's in the body language. It is in the words. It is in the gaze, in the way that you look at people, in the way that you teach, and also we should seek forgiveness from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for our harshness, for our impulsiveness, for our hastiness, our rudeness, our roughness, our impatience, our aggressiveness, right? We should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we learn that Allah is Rafiq and He loves Rifq. So if we are acting contrary to Rifq, we are doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. So we should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's a few things that I'm going to mention in the next few minutes. And I'm sure that as you will listen to them, while I was preparing this, I felt like there's such a beautiful standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us, that we should be gentle. And so often we resort to harshness. So it really made me realize that things need to change, right? Behavior needs to change. And as you listen to this and as you reflect over yourself, and you may feel like, oh my God, I'm so different from this, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Seek forgiveness from Allah because Allah is al-Rafiq. So remember that when it comes to rifq, when it comes to gentleness, it is extremely important. Why is it important? Because it is a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special slaves. Okay, remember that gentleness, rifq, is important. If you could please move to the next slide. Rifq is, jazakumullah khair, the importance of rifq. So rifq is a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slaves, special slaves, meaning the slaves whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. The slaves who have a special status near Allah, who are close to Allah. Because Allah is Rafiq, right? So the people who have rifq, then such people are appreciated by Allah. In a hadith we learn that إِنَّ لِلَّهِ آنِيَةً مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ وَآنِيَةُ رَبِّكُمْ قُلُوبُ عِبَادِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain vessels among the people of the earth. And the vessels of your Lord are the hearts of His righteous servants. And the most beloved of those hearts, of those vessels, are which ones? أَلْيَنُهَا وَأَرَقُّهَا. Those which are the softest and the most gentle. So a heart that is soft, a heart that has gentleness in it, then such a heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very gentle. In a hadith we learn, وَكَانَ رَحِيمًا رَفِيقًا. He was very merciful and he was rafiq. He was very gentle and kind. This is how the companions described the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Quran it is said that فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is out of Allah's mercy that you were lenient. You were soft and gentle with people. It is a characteristic of the people of Jannah, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the people of Jannah are of three types. And one of them, he mentioned, وَرَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ لِكُلِّ ذِي قُرْبَى وَمُسْلِمٌ وَرَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ And a merciful man, who is رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ, who is very soft-hearted. Towards who? Towards every relative and every Muslim. And we see that when it comes to, you know, gentleness and softness, we think that, yes, this is a very feminine quality, right? Women are supposed to be like that. But men, no, they have to be harsh and aggressive and super assertive and sometimes also come across as, you know, mean and rude and loud, because this is how men are. If you are a, you know, a confident man, you should come across as very, harsh, someone who is not afraid, someone who can say anything, someone who can do anything. And this is contrary to the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of the people of Jannah is who? A man, rajul. All right, rajul. This is not niswa. This is rajul. All right, a man who is rahim, who is merciful, raqiqul qalb, soft-hearted. Toward who? Toward every relative, including your child. All right, and your sister, and your niece, and your nephew, and your grandma, and your uncle, and your brother, and wa Muslim. Kind towards who? Soft-hearted toward every Muslim. And then we also learn in another narration about how the most superior servants of Allah on the Day of Judgment, of them will be Imamun Adilun Rafiqun, a leader who is just and gentle. And this is also a trait that brings a characteristic that brings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. In a hadith, we learn about a man who was forgiven by Allah. Why? Because he was sahlan. He was very easy to deal with. He wasn't difficult with people. How was he easy to deal with? إِذَا بَعَ سَهْلًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى سَهْلًا When he sold something, very easy. When he bought something, very easy. And sometimes we create so much difficulty for people where we spend so long bargaining and arguing and then making things difficult even for the cashier, that please put my things like this and please this and what about the discount for that and what about this and what about that. We make things difficult even for the poor cashier. Right? So إِذَا بَعَ سَهْلًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى سَهْلًا إِذَا قَضَى سَهْلًا Right? Yani in every way, that person was easy to deal with. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave that person. Rifq is something that brings goodness. Sometimes we think that, you know, if we're very easygoing with people, if we're gentle with people, if we're friendly with people, then they're going to take advantage of us. We're never going to be able to get things done. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when Allah intends good towards the people of a household, then أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّفْقُ He puts gentleness among them. He puts gentleness in their household. And this is so important for us to remember. Because sometimes we think the only way of getting children to listen to you, the only way of getting your spouse to listen to you, the only way of getting your parents or whoever listen to you is that you are a bit cold. Distant, a bit, there must be a little bit of strictness, a little bit of harshness maybe, right? Why? So that people will take me seriously. Otherwise, if I'm too gentle, if I am gentle, they're not going to listen to me. So part of that is that we raise our voice, we make our tone very harsh, and this is contrary to sunnah. And it doesn't bring goodness. You receive goodness when you show gentleness. We also learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha rafiqun yuhibbu rifqa wa yu'ti 'ala rifqi." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gentle. He loves gentleness and he gives because of gentleness ma la yu'ti 'ala al-'unf. What he does not give because of difficulty. Meaning when people are difficult with each other, harsh with each other, they don't receive certain blessings from Allah. But when they're gentle with each other, they actually receive rewards, and not just reward, but help and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, for example, you could be having, you could be struggling with disciplining your children, right? And this is an issue that I think is present in every single household. No matter how adorable, no matter how good your children are, there are matters that you struggle with, right? It could be the matter of their homework, the matter of their, you know, their cleaning their room, regardless of their age. I'm sure there are things which you struggle with. And sometimes we think the solution is to be hard, to be harsh, right? To be very strict. And it doesn't bring any benefit. What it does, what harshness and strictness does, is that it creates a wedge, a gap between you and your children. And over time, that gap actually widens, right? It widens. So much so that even when your children have grown up and they're adults, you know, as much as they want to be good to you, it's very hard for them. It's very hard for them. They may want to forgive you, and they may already have forgiven you. They may not have any grudge in their heart for you, but they still feel like they don't have a connection with you. They just don't understand you, and you don't understand them. So they're living with this feeling of, I wish I could, I could be more, you know, loving, more friendly with my dad, with my mom, right? This happens. And this is not coincidental. This is because we raise children with what? With harshness. And we create a distance. We learn that when a person is gentle and easygoing, they receive ease from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. In a hadith, we learn that be easy or forgive, and you will be forgiven. You will be shown ease. And it also brings beauty. In a hadith, we learn, مَا كَانَ الرِّفْقُ فِي شَيْءٍ قَطُّ إِلَّا زَانَهُ. Gentleness is not present in anything except that it makes it beautiful. وَلَا عُزِلَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. And it is not removed from anything except that it makes it ugly. Right? In another hadith, we learn, لَا يَكُونُ الْخُرْقُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقُ. So basically, roughness, harshness, rudeness makes things ugly, makes situations ugly. And rifq, gentleness, on the other hand, it only makes things more beautiful. And rifq is something that always works. It is suitable in every situation. So whether you are, you know, working with people, there are employees working under you, or you have your family, your children, your spouse, whoever, remember that gentleness, rifq, is always appropriate. It is always appropriate. It is always fitting. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu rifqa fil amri kullihi." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves gentleness in all affairs, in all matters. So whether you are disciplining your cat, right, or you are teaching your child, or you are trying to convince your spouse, or you are, you know, talking to someone who you know, who you think is not understanding you, right? In every situation, gentleness is possible and gentleness is appropriate. And it brings the help of Allah. Because think about it, if Allah is Rafiq and He loves Rifq, then what do you think? If you are displaying a behavior that Allah loves, what do you think you're going to get from Allah? You're going to get His help. You're going to get ease. And if you're showing the opposite, then what do you expect? Right? And this is why rifq is a big deal. It is a big deal. It's not, you know, and it's not an ordinary matter that we can ignore. We can say, oh, I'm not a gentle person. This is not for me. Maybe my mom can be, but I'm not the type. No, it doesn't matter whether you are the type or not. This is something you have to strive towards. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever is given his share of gentleness, then indeed he was given a share of goodness. Yani being gentle means being able to receive a lot of goodness. In another hadith, we learn whoever is deprived of gentleness, then he is deprived of goodness. So now the question is, who is it that we should be gentle towards? Who is it that we should show rifq to? Show rifq to yourself. Be kind and compassionate toward yourself in the way that you speak to yourself, in the way that you treat yourself. Be a good companion to yourself. Like your own company, right? This doesn't mean that you are, you know, in your own world, right? No, it just means that the kind of things that you say to yourself are respectful. Even when you make a mistake, you don't condemn yourself. You don't, you're not dismissive of your needs, right? And you are helpful to yourself. You're not destructive. You are encouraging to yourself, right? So be gentle first and foremost toward yourself. Exactly. With saying things like, I'm so stupid, I'm so dumb, I'm really slow, right? I'm like this, I'm like that. Negative things about yourself, this is not rifq to yourself. So be kind to yourself. Secondly, be kind and gentle, especially towards your parents. And, you know, we discussed earlier about how when parents are harsh with their children, this creates a distance between them. Even if that's your case, that you feel like you have no relationship with your parents or your relationship is not healthy at all, still be kind towards them. You have to do your part, right? Remember, rifq is not about being kind to someone when you believe they deserve that kindness. No, it's not about them. It's about you. It's about how you choose to respond for your own well-being. Because what you do affects you before it affects other people. How you talk, how you react affects you before it affects other people. So be gentle and kind and loving and respectful towards your parents. And even if there isn't much that you can do, you can still make dua for them, right? Whether they are alive or they have passed away. And then we see that gentleness is also towards the spouse, right? The person that you are living with. And we see that men especially should be gentle with their wives. Especially because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahli." The best of you are those who are best to their wives, to their families. It begins with this relationship first, and it's sad that this has to be said, but it is important that men should especially be gentle with their wives, and this means gentle in the way that you speak to them, in the way that you talk to them, in the way that you you communicate with them, and even in the bedroom, right? There should be gentleness, not harshness and roughness to the point of injury and pain. We learn some women were on camels, and Anjasha, one of the slaves of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was, you know, driving those camels really fast, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that slow down. Right, be gentle. وَيْحَكَ يَا أَنْجَشَ سَوْقَكَ بِالْقَوَارِيرِ You're driving glass vessels, right? So be considerate. And sometimes men are not considerate of their wives' feelings at all, in the way that they will make fun of them, the way that they will mock at them, you know, the way that they will, you know, say things directly, indirectly. There's gaslighting. It's very hurtful to even hear such things, that, you know, sometimes a woman's feelings, her passions, her work, her goals don't even matter in the relationship, right? Her wants, her likes, her dislikes don't even matter. The entire relationship is centered around the man. His needs, his job, his wants, his desire, his this, his that. And the wife is just, you know, something on the side. What about her? Is she not a human? Does she not have a right to, you know, have goals, have dreams, and, you know, be able to fulfill them? Or is she supposed to just ignore everything and sacrifice everything and compromise on everything until she becomes a shell of a person? Right? So this is something that men especially need to pay attention to. Aisha radiallahu anha said that Jabir radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was rajulan sahlan, was a very easygoing man. إِذَا هَوِيَتْ الشَّيْءَ تَابَعَهَا عَلَيْهِ. When something was presented to him, when someone asked him for something, he would fulfill it. He wouldn't make a big deal out of it, right? And even when his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, if she was ever upset with him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam acknowledged her feelings, right? In a hadith, we learn about how, he said to her once that, I know when you're happy and I know when you're upset. She said, how? He said, when you're happy, you say, La wa Rabbi Muhammad, right? By the Lord of Muhammad. And when you are upset, you say, La wa Rabbi Ibrahim, by the Lord of Ibrahim. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would recognize that she is upset and he acknowledged that. And he would not condemn her for being upset. And gentleness, again, it should be with children as well. And this is well known, but not just your own children, but the children of other people as well. Because children, because of who they are, they deserve to be handled with care and gentleness. Little babies, and the way that we pick them up and the way that we put them down, the way that we change their diapers and the way that we put them in the car seat and the way that we pull them out and the way that we walk with them, they deserve a gentle touch. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. In a hadith, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once leading the people in prayer. And when he went into sajda, Hassan and Hussein, both of his grandsons, they climbed onto his back, right? And when they climbed onto his back, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to get up from the sajda. So what did he do? He gently held them, all right? أَخْذًا رَفِيقًا, right? Very gently he held them until they slid down, all right? Meaning until he put them down on the ground. And then وَضْعًا رَفِيقًا. So he held them gently and he put them down gently. And when he went into sajda again, same thing happened. So two times he held them gently, he put them down gently. And after the salah, he made them both sit on his lap. And Abu Huraira asked him that, shall I take them to their mother? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, let them be here. So gentleness in handling children. And also love them, show love to them gently, right? Because sometimes we become so out of control that we start pulling their cheeks, right? And we start rough handling them. And they get annoyed, they get upset. Then gentleness also with relatives, because in a hadith we learn, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُوصِيكُمْ بِأُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs you to be good towards your mothers, right? And then with your fathers, and then بِالْأَقْرَبْ فَالْأَقْرَبْ. Then the one who is closest to you, and the next closest to you. Meaning, depending on how close a person is to you, they deserve more gentleness. Then gentleness also towards co-workers, people who are working with you, and also people who are working under you. Because we see that Anas radiallahu anhu, he worked for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for so long. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا عَابَ عَلَيَّ شَيْءٍ قَطُّ. He never criticized me for anything ever. He said, Aisha radiallahu anha said, مَا ضَرَبَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never hit anyone, right, with his hand, neither a woman nor a servant. And even when it comes to an enemy, Allahu Akbar, someone who is actively trying to hurt you, right, either verbally or physically, gentleness with them as well. We see the incident that I mentioned earlier about how Aisha radiallahu anha got really annoyed with that group of people who said assalamu alaykum to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aisha, alayki birrifq, you better be gentle and be warned against harshness and vulgarity. And in the, you know, the incident of Taif, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the option that if you want, Jibreel said, if you want, I will crush these people between the two mountains. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bal arju an yukhrij Allahu min aslabihim." Rather, I want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should bring out from their descendants, "Man ya'budu Allah wahdahu la yushriku bihi shay'a," someone who will worship Allah only and not associate anyone with Him. And then finally, gentleness should also be shown to animals, whether they are riding animals or they are pets or whatever, any livestock. Just because they're animals, it doesn't mean that we treat them as if they're nothing, as if they have no feelings. We learn Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he used to have a camel, all right, and he named that camel Damun. And when people would ask him to borrow his camel so that they could, you know, use the camel for transporting their things, etc., he would advise them, he would instruct them that don't load my camel with, you know, so much weight because he's not able to carry more than such amount of weight. And he would instruct people to deal with his camel appropriately, gently. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gently, you know, he would pass his hand gently over the face of the horses. Sulaiman alayhi salam also, we learned that he did that. His story is mentioned in the Quran. And in a hadith, we learn about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam even instructed people that they should cut their nails before milking an animal. Because if the nails are long, it's going to hurt the animal. This doesn't mean that every single time you have to do it. No, you have to make sure the nails are decently short, right? Not long that they are hurting the animal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Aisha radiallahu anha to be gentle when training her camel. In hadith, we learn, this hadith is in Musnad Ahmad, that a camel on which no one, you know, had sat before, no one, it was an untamed camel that was given to Aisha radiallahu anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, "Ya Aisha, alayki bi taqwa Allahi azza wa jalla." Oh Aisha, fear Allah. And wa rifqi, have rifq, be gentle. فَإِنَّ الرِّفْقَ, because gentleness, لَمْ يَكُ فِي شَيْءٍ قَطُّ إِلَّا زَانَهُ, it is not present in anything except that it makes it beautiful. وَلَمْ يُنْزَعْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ قَطُّ إِلَّا شَانَهُ, and it is not removed from anything except that it makes it ugly. So be gentle even when training your camel. And sometimes we think that when we're training animals, we can beat them, we can punish them, we can be harsh with them. So we have to be careful about this as well. And even when it comes to slaughtering animals, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ," that be excellent in doing that, meaning do it swiftly, properly, so that the animal experiences the least amount of pain possible. And when it comes to riding on animals, again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gentle. He loves gentleness. وَيَرْضَى بِهِ, and He is pleased with it. وَيُعِينُ عَلَيْهِ, and He helps people when they are being gentle. مَا لَا يُعِينُ عَلَى الْعُنْفِ, and He gives the help which He does not give over their harshness. And He said, فَإِذَا رَكِبْتُمْ هَذِهِ الدَّوَابَّ الْعُجْمَ, so when you are riding these mute animals, meaning animals who are not able to talk to you, who are not able to tell you that you're hurting them, then فَأَنْزِلُوهَا مَنَازِلَهَا, then treat them in the proper way and make them sit in proper places. Don't just deal with them however you want to. Be considerate. And that is all part of showing rifq. Finally, the last section, inshallah, how is it that we can call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But before that, remember that the matter of rifq is a very serious matter. This is not an option, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, and he said that, "O Allah, cause distress to him who has any charge over my people and causes them distress." Meaning any person who has authority over anyone from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this could be your own children as well. This could be your own wife. This could be your own husband. This could be your own family. If you cause distress to them, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua is against you. And what is that dua? That, oh Allah, cause distress to the person who causes distress to the people of my ummah, that he has charge over. And he also made another dua, that, oh Allah, be gentle to him who has any charge over my people and is gentle to them. So when we show harshness, we create difficulty, that is what we receive. And when we create ease, when we show compassion, when we are gentle and easygoing, then that is what we receive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, and his final dua was, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wa alhiqni bil rafiq. Oh Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, and bring me to the highest companion. And this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, we can also make this dua, but remember that this is a dua that is to be made at the time of death. So a person can make this dua with the intention that, oh Allah, whenever you cause me to die, then forgive me and have mercy on me and join me with Rafiq al-A'la. And Rafiq al-A'la can be understood as, of course, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and others have said that this is actually referring to the highest companions, meaning the best companionship, which is the company of the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous in the high levels of paradise. So you can also make this dua. And the other thing is that, when you realize how important and how beautiful gentleness is, and when you recognize your own personal deficiencies, whether it comes across in the form of impulsiveness or, harshness, rudeness, then seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to the best of deeds and the best of manners. Allahumma hdini li ahsan al akhlaq, li ahsan al a'mal wa ahsan al akhlaq, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from sayyi al a'mal wa sayyi al akhlaq, because it is only with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're able to make these changes in ourselves. Inshallah, we will conclude here for today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.